Hey, First Things First listeners, before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, as well as the televised version of this show, just a click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com. Now let's start the show. Good morning, everyone, and a happy Thanksgiving. Yes, we have foliage
happy
on this late November day. General Wolf on First Things First. You got Nick Wright, Brandon Marshall, Kevin Wilds, and among the many things we are grateful for on this Thanksgiving. And I think many of you agree, not only the fact that Nick grew his hair out finally, but football, football, and more football this afternoon, which is where we start this morning. Kicking things off on this Thanksgiving with the 3-7 Washington team at the 3-7 Dallas team. The winner moves into first place in the NFC East, but let us focus on the Cowboys. Big win over the Vikings. A win today makes it 2 in a row. That's how math works. Mike McCarthy said this game would be the team's first opportunity to, quote, really stack success. So, Nick, let's kick off the conversation with you. Can the Cowboys still salvage their season and make the playoffs at this point?
Oh, well, the answer to the first question is kind of. The answer to the second question is definitely. Can they salvage their season? Yeah, I suppose. If they went from 2-7 to 9-7, if they finished the year with 7 consecutive wins, it would include a win against Baltimore here coming up after Thanksgiving, then sure, I think that would be, given the fact they lost their quarterback for the season to a horrible injury and the way the year started, I think you would say, you know what? We have real things to build on. Most notably, in order for them to do that, it would mean the defensive turnaround is complete. We've seen DeMarcus Lawrence the last month finally, for the first time since signing that contract, play up to that contract. You want to see more from Jalen Smith. You want to see what the secondary under a full year of the new defensive coordinator, Mike Nolan, can really do. So that's how you would salvage the year. Now, to make the playoffs, you might only need 6 wins. You might only, hell, if they could tie today, 5-10-1 might get you there. So I don't think making the playoffs necessarily salvages their season. They're obviously not dead on arrival for the playoffs. No one in this division is. Brandon, they wouldn't be my playoff pick, and they're not my pick to win today. I think Washington wins.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I do think they could take some small, you know, almost moral victories. If they finish the year really strong, I don't anticipate that that's going to happen, though.
Yeah, Nick, but the answer is absolutely. When you walk into any arena, any stadium, what do you see? You see banners. And on those banners, what does it read? Divisional champs. It reads Super Bowls, championships. It may even have some names hanging in the rafter. When you walk in any locker room, everybody's talking about the same thing. Win the division. So if they continue to stack wins, they win the division, whether it's with 6 wins, 7 wins, it's a win. So for that reason, they absolutely can salvage their season. As a player, you don't think about, well, maybe there's a handful of teams that think about, well, if we win this way, we're going to get a bye. If we win this way, you know, we can get first place. There's only a handful of teams. Let's look at the AFC. You have the Patriots, you have the Steelers, the Ravens, now the Kansas City Chiefs. You also have on the NFC side, Green Bay, the Saints. Those are teams that really think about winning 13, 14 ball games. They think they're capable of doing that. Most teams want to do it, but then when reality smacked them in the face and they look up halfway through the season and they're 500, then they start leaning on, let's just win a division. So for that reason, Wilds, I absolutely think the Cowboys can salvage their season if they stack wins and hit into the playoffs as divisional champions.
So Brandon, could they, if they don't make the playoffs, let's suppose the Eagles get hot, or my Giants, Joe Judge gets hot. Let's suppose they play really well and then miss the playoffs. But do you still think that's a win when they look at, what if they go 6-10 and the Giants win the division with 7 wins? Is that a good season where it's like, hey, we played well, I guess we were 6-10. We could have won the division, but the Giants had 7 wins. It's this odd calculus.
Yeah, I mean, the way this season went down, this is an easy answer. It's a quick answer. A lot of people get fired. Players get traded and cut. Now, if this wasn't Coach McCarthy's first year, we would see a lot of that. I think they'll stand pat. They won't make too many changes to the coaching staff, but definitely there's going to be players that's going to be shipped out.
All right, well, Nick, let me ask you something. Isn't this kind of like a, so what? Like, so what if the Cowboys do make the playoffs? Is anyone really afraid of this Cowboys team?
No, not with Andy Dalton at quarterback. Not even if they get hot and win a bunch of games down the stretch. However, that does bring me to the team they're playing today. And I understand we're talking about the Cowboys today, but I want to say something about Washington. Because like I said, I think Washington is going to win today. I think Washington actually could scare one specific team in the postseason. If Washington wins the NFC East, they will do it on the strength of what? Their pass rush. And I am telling you right here, right now, today, if Washington wins the NFC East, and in order to do that, they need to win this afternoon against Dallas, Tampa is the odds-on favorite to be the 5 seed. They're not going to win their division, and they are probably going to finish with the best record of the non-divisional winners. If Washington were to play Tampa in Washington, first game of the playoffs, they 100% can win that game. They are the second best pass rush in football. They absolutely could beat the Tampa Bay Bucs based on the strength of their defensive line alone. So I actually think Washington, Philly for a similar reason, if they were to get it together, I don't think they will because of their pass rush. Those teams actually could strike some fear in the opposition. I do not think Dallas, even if they get hot, with Dalton at quarterback and with a mediocre at best defense, Brandon, can make anybody afraid come the postseason.
Yeah, no one's going to be scared. You see how Nick just went through all those scenarios, this seed, that seed, this team's going to play that team. Mm-hmm. Players, they listen to that in the locker room. They're watching these shows. And you know what they do? They look at, well, if we play the Cowboys, that's a win for us. So it almost has the opposite effect on teams when you creep into the playoffs. Teams think it's just they can take your lunch. So I think the Cowboys getting in is a win for them. And then other teams that probably will be matched up against them are looking at it as an easy win. So nobody will be scared, Wilds.
So you think, Nick, you think that Chase Young specifically would scare Tom Brady? Or do you think that, and do you think Washington has enough offense to get across, like Tampa Bay's defense, no slouch either. I know we're projecting way out to the playoffs now, but it is interesting.
But right, sure. Listen, I think it's the D-line as a whole. Chase Young gets the headlines, but he only has a handful of sacks this year. Kerrigan's an excellent player. Montrez Sweat, who they drafted in the first round last year, is probably going to have a double-digit sack season. I think Ron Rivera's instilled a defensive mindset on that team, and I actually think Alex Smith, if, again, we're projecting forward, gets a couple months of football under his belt, he's not going to be turning the ball over the way he had in his first couple starts. You know Terry McLaurin's a good player, a very good player. I think of all the teams in the NFC East, the one that would be most apt to upset a team in the playoffs is Washington. Giants wouldn't scare you. Philly, I feel like they're just a total mess. And the Cowboys don't have Dak and the defense is limited. I think Washington, with the right matchup, again, you would need the right matchup, actually could scare some teams, Jenna.
All right, well, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. First things first, you got Washington and Dallas, 4 p.m. today on Fox. Take a turn, talk some Tom Brady, the GOAT. That's not news, but the latest player to call him the GOAT has some turning their heads, including Nick. We'll explain next. First things first. That's a tease.
I think I called him Montrez Sweat. It's Montez Sweat.
Hey, First Things First listeners. It's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People's Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. Now, back to First Things First.
Well, we're in Tampa Bay for the much-anticipated matchup this weekend, Bucks and Chiefs. Tom Brady's season has been up and down with the Bucks sitting at 7-4, while Patrick Mahomes' season has been up and up with the Chiefs cruising along at 9-1. So come Sunday, it will be the current GOAT versus perhaps the future GOAT. Tyreek Hill was asked about Brady. Take a listen.
You know what? I'm just so surprised, you know, for a guy his age, you know, just watching him play over the years, you know, how great he is. You know, I've always been a fan of Tom. Like, I'm always called him the GOAT. I mean, even though I play with Pat, he's the GOAT too. But Tom, he's obviously the GOAT of our sport, you know. I'm just so glad to be able to play against Tom. Hopefully I can get a jersey swap.
How about that concept? Two GOATs. Maybe the NBA should take notice.
Just real quick. I know you were so nice saying thank you. Can I just get this off my chest? GOAT is not plural. There's either one or there's not.
The whole concept of GOAT falls apart when
you say, well, he's the GOAT, and I play with Pat, he's the GOAT too. It's not greatest of all time. It's just greatest. It's a singular thing. Can we just stop with this?
Which is why it's Mahomes.
There's some Jordans. All that does is open the box.
Great way to start. And now we have future conversations. All right. Well, then, Brandon, let me ask you. Let's put the GOATs, the greatest, aside for 1 second and say, can Tom Brady send a message this weekend with a win over Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Absolutely. I mean, every Sunday is an opportunity to send a message. And when you look at it, who is he going to send a message to? Themselves. Like, you got to figure out who you are. The Kansas City Chiefs know who they are. The Tampa Bay Bucks, Tom Brady, who are you? This record is not bad. 7-4, a lot of teams would give anything to be 7-4 at this point in the season. But Tampa Bay didn't go get Tom Brady. Tom Brady didn't go to Tampa Bay just to win against the bad teams. They brought him in to come win a Super Bowl. So when you look at these matchups against contenders, the champs, you have to show who you are. Now, one game, is it enough? No. Now, we need to see people stacking wins in November and December. They need to figure out exactly who they are, Nick. Tom Brady is a perfect opportunity. We talk a lot about Mahomes. We talk a lot about Andy Reid. We talk a lot about how this offense can beat you so many different ways. But this defense is really good. One of the things that we don't talk about, because it's not a real flashy defense, is their takeaways. They're second in the league in taking away the ball. They got 10 interceptions, 5 fumble recoveries. Tom Brady, he needs to protect the ball. Every time we look up on some type of primetime game, there's a turnover. He needs to come in. They need to have a balanced attack. He needs to protect the ball. If they do that, they have a good chance of beating this team and sending a message to themselves. This will be one of many games that they need to stack heading into December.
Those are all really good points, Brandon. And you're right. There's a lot of teams that would kill to be 7-4. Absolutely. I mean, not the Browns again. They're 7-3. They would be upset if they're 7-4. But there's a lot of teams. Bad teams in particular. But I want to talk about two people that I feel badly for preemptively. The first is Tyreek Hill. Because I don't know if you heard at the end there, Tyreek's saying, I'm hoping to get a jersey swap. And what do we know about Sunday? Tom Brady ain't going to be on the field to swap no jerseys. After losses, beeline to the... Yeah, you got it. And Brandon, here's what
Brady
I get.
Brady must have won that game.
I don't know the story about that jersey, but I know this. Either it came after a Jets or Dolphins loss, or it arrived via U.S. mail. It did not come after you guys beat him. Yeah, please. Go ahead. And then I'll tell you the other person I feel bad for.
I chased him down after the game. We actually beat him. It was a Dolphins win. I chased him down. I said, Tom, send me your jersey. I said, can I have your jersey? Take it off right now. He said, no, I'll send you one. 3 years later, finally found it in my garage, all wrapped up in a UPS box. So he didn't give it to me right away. He ended up sending it to me. But I had to ask two or three times.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. So, all right, that's, well, so listen, maybe you can send Tyreek a message on how to get it. But Wilds, here's the other person I feel badly for. I feel bad for Tom, because this is not a fair fight on Sunday. And so I'm going to go back to March 28th, 2003. Now, that day might not mean much to many of you guys, but it happened to be the night of my senior prom for high school. Oh. And I remember this vividly, partly because it was senior prom. I was going to be late for senior prom. Why? Because it was the final ever matchup between Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. Jordan was last year with the Wizards, had a couple weeks left in the season. They weren't going to play each other in the playoffs. And people, you know, kind of tried to set it up as a passing of the torch. But it wasn't a fair fight. It was old and not what he once was, Michael, against in his prime Kobe. Oh. And that night, if memory serves, Michael scored in the low 20s, and Kobe scored 55 points, damn near his career high at that point. And that wasn't an indictment on Michael and what he had achieved. It was a statement that it is not his time anymore. And that is where we're at right now in the NFL. It is not Brady's time anymore. We know whose time it is, Wilds. So this idea that Brady is going to be able to send a message or hold off Mahomes, it's not fair to put it in those terms. He's almost 20 years older than the guy. And so, I don't expect messages to be sent, and I don't expect this to be a really fair fight for Brady.
I mean, this is fantastic. I don't know who the person is who does Tom Brady's social media, but I hope they clip this off and they can play this before the game, because you just delivered the perfect pump-up soliloquy, Nick. I thought it was fantastic. Here's the thing.
Oh, thanks.
Tampa Bay versus Mahomes, I think you may, is very Jordan Wizards-y. I totally get it. That's why I don't want him to be Tampa Tom or whatever. I can't even get the stupid nicknames right. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to be that Tom Brady. I want him to be Patriots Tom Brady. And you know what? Bruce Arians should want him to be Patriots Tom Brady. And Brandon, you talked about it yesterday. Do not start slinging the ball through the air. That's not what you do. Do those little dumps to Antonio Brown across the middle. Have Antonio Brown be your new Julian Edelman. He's so much better if he's throwing the ball under 20 yards. And here's the other thing. It's not just like, oh, I'm old, I got a noodle arm. That's the way you've always won. And especially about this team, Katanik, we can move the graphic forward. You get an idea of how good these deals. Look how good the Rams are. We thought this was a misprint. It was not. First of all, because it's accurate. Second of all, because it's not printed. It's a graphic. But the Chiefs are the third best team in defending 20-yard air throws. So, Nick, if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have any chance, we need to see more New England Tom Brady rather than this new version of Bruce Arians or Jameis Winston without the interceptions. Bruce Arians just needs to let Tom be Tom and not just be a Jameis clone that makes a slightly decisions.
That's what we're going to see.
Brandon, that's Brandon. Right. Then that means... Then you know who the most important receiver becomes? And I think you might be covering up your microphone with that jersey, my friend. It's Antonio Brown. I think the most important receiver becomes AB on those option routes on third and short, right? It's not Mike Evans deep down the field.
Yes, right. You're right. But guess what? It doesn't matter. And to your point earlier, who cares? I don't want to see Tom Brady throw for 350 yards. Mahomes can throw for 400 yards, and Tampa Tom can throw for 125 yards. And if he gets the win and he plays smart down the stretch, yeah, he doesn't throw a pick in a two-minute drill to go win the game, then you celebrate. That's why you brought Tom in. Situational football. Be smart. Get your team in the right situations. That's what we want to see. Run the ball. Wiles just said it. You can't throw against this defense because of their front four. They're really good. So what do? Run the ball. That's what they did in New England. Wiles, excellent job pointing out what Tampa Bay needs to do to get the win. Run the ball. Throw it inside. Don't go outside.
All right. No matter what, it will be must watch. Bucks and Chiefs. The Cowboys continue their Thanksgiving tradition today. A lot on the line in this one. Which player is going to feast the most this afternoon? We'll discuss next.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
All right, time now for a little Thanksgiving edition of Drawing a Blank. I love these. This is going to be fun. Two games today on the Thanksgiving slate, including the big NFC East bout. You got Washington, Dallas. We talked about it. It's 4 o'clock on Fox. Also, Texans, Lions today. So, Brandon, the player or coach that you're most excited to watch on Thanksgiving is blank.
Washington's Terry McLaurin. This wide receiver is a monster. Nobody talks about him because it's Washington. They're losing a bunch of games. He's had three different quarterbacks. But this dude has 870 yards on the season. He leads the NFL in yak. That's my favorite stat. Every year going into a season, that was my number one goal. I need to be Yak Daddy of the Year. Yards after catch.
Can
we talk about all these other wide receivers? Yak Daddy. Call me Yak Daddy, baby.
Make him back.
Yak Daddy.
Yes, that's great.
We don't talk about this guy.
That's
Yak
great.
He's the Yak Daddy. I got to pass the torch to him.
All right, I am taken aback by that.
That's amazing.
Brandon coming up with, maybe he didn't come up with it, but that's the first time I've heard that terminology, and I give that an A triple plus. All right, to my answer. Longtime viewers of this show know what. I always have what in my hand? A Sharpie. Now, why do I always have a Sharpie in my hand? Usually I try to have it match my pocket square. Today I couldn't find the right color. It's because I take all my notes on this manila folder, and so it's a useful tool. It's not a prop.
Oh, here we go.
Why am I talking about this? Well, because today might be the last time we ever get to see one of the most useless props in the NFL, Matt Patricia's pencil. I'm not saying Matt Patricia is a useless prop. He's a useless coach. I'm talking about his pencil. He keeps a pencil behind his ear. Why does he do that? His play sheet is laminated. Pencils don't work on laminated paper. Everybody knows that. So he does it. Why? Because Belichick used to do it, or still does it, because Belichick has an old reporter's notebook that he uses to write in plays and remind himself what he saw, you know, while he was watching the other team's practice, I would assume. But that's not the point.
No.
Point is, this is going to be Matt Patricia's final game as a head coach. The Lions are going to lose today. They just got shut out last week. They have been terrible since he got there, since they foolishly moved on from Jim Caldwell. So, someone in the front office with the Lions today, shortly after Thanksgiving dinner, is going to call up old Matty P and with not a pencil, but with a red pen, sign his walking papers, and that'll be it for Matt Patricia. Yikes. So I'm excited to watch the final game for Matt Patricia today. Happy okay. Thanksgiving.
My answer is number 90. My answer is number 99. Chase Young, big game last week. He had hit Andy Dalton three times before Andy Dalton got knocked out of the game. But before we go, true story. I too use Sharpies. He doesn't have the monopoly on Sharpies. Oh. And one day in the break, he was like, "Wilds, stop using Sharpies." And I thought he was joking, and he wasn't. So while I still have Sharpies, I will not use them on air. I switched down to the Papermate. Smaller version. Just that's how good of a teammate I am. I was going to use these, and I switched to these. That's a happy so Thanksgiving from my sort of like sacrifice. These just don't write as
stick
well.
With the pencils.
They don't write as well, but I did it for you, buddy.
I'm a Matt Patricia, pencil. Smart guy. Pencils. That's all you need.
You've got a reporter's notebook, Brandon.
All right, let's move on to Cleveland. Nick has mentioned this Browns team no less than 400 times already today. Baker and the Browns have plenty to be thankful for, sitting at 7-3.
7-3, though.
With the first Browns playoff berth since 2002, a real possibility. But, Brandon, the fan base that should be most thankful this season is blank.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. Look, 2020 has been hard. 2020 has been rough. It's the year from hell. 2020 started early for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Don't forget about last year. That record, 8-8, that really wasn't 8-8. I mean, losing a couple quarterbacks, Big Ben. You know, we were talking about Coach Tomlin getting fired. Coach Tomlin, one of the greatest head coaches ever. And now, what can be sweeter than being undefeated? So the Pittsburgh Steelers fans, enjoy this moment right now because you've been in 2020 way too long.
I'm going to go with a team, Brandon, that I'm not actually sure has a fan base, but if they do exist, they should be incredibly thankful. The Chargers. Listen, there were folks on television, like me, that said they were crazy for drafting Justin Herbert. Those folks were wrong. Herbert appears to be awesome. Appears to be as close to a sure thing as you can have as a rookie quarterback. And so now everything else falls into place for them eventually. I understand they haven't won a lot of games this year, but they have their quarterback situation settled. And to be able to go from Philip Rivers, who, while I know Brandon called him a Hall of Famer the other day, that's obviously insanity. He was very, very good for them for 15 years. To be able to seamlessly go to Justin Herbert, that's a transition very few teams get to make. And so they're not going to be in the quarterback wilderness at all. So they should be incredibly thankful, Jenna.
Check his numbers.
Okay, I'm going with Tampa. Obviously, we've talked more about Tampa Bay this year than we have in the previous decade of this show. Even the show hasn't been around for a decade. I haven't been on it for a decade. But not only did they win the Stanley Cup and get Tom Brady, all of a sudden it's like, hey, oh, we got the Raptors? We just got an NBA franchise out of thin air? So congratulations, Tampa. Big wins and relevancy in football, and then just getting gifted an NBA team. Congratulations. Happy Thanksgiving.
That was great. All right, on to Green Bay now, where Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are preparing to host the Bears Sunday night. They can cement themselves atop the NFC North with a win. But Brandon, the player most likely to feast this weekend is blank.
It's actually two, and this is an easy one. Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. Like, you heard Wild say it. We talked about it yesterday. Time to go back to the old Tom Brady, the Patriots Tom Brady. Balance. Throw the ball inside out. But first, lean on the run game. You're going against a defense that gives up 4.6 yards a carry. Come on. Run the ball. So these two running backs should have a day, Nick, and you should be worried about your Chiefs.
Okay, well, I'm not worried at all, but I like the fact that we're slowly evolving the Bucs. By the end of the season, you're going to be telling them to run the wing T to avoid the quarterback throwing any passes. But I'm going with another guy who shouldn't throw any passes, Taysom Hill. I don't know who's going to be feasting in regards to Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill on the defense, and then, you know, I'm going to have to feast on eating my own words, or all the folks who were all rabid in my mentions this week asking me to apologize for my Taysom Hill commentary. I just really am, to be totally honest, excited to watch this play out. I'm going to stand by, and I think it's going to be a nice little juxtaposition with the closest thing we've had to Tim Tebow playing Tim Tebow's old team in Denver. But I just want to watch it this weekend, so I'm going to say Taysom Hill.
Broncos win. Broncos win.
Okay. I think so. Brandon.
Okay, so you think Taysom Hill is going to do well, and you're interested in watching the game, but you still, it's wrapped up in a candy coat of insults. I thought it was going to be a nice Taysom Hill thing. I saw it on the Google Doc. I'm going Antonio Gibson. He had 128 yards last time he played Dallas, and total yards, that is, and Dallas has given up 153 yards on the ground, so Antonio Gibson might take that Barry Sanders mantle of, like, big running back Thanksgiving Day performance.
Oh,
I like it. All right, on to Washington now. Where rookie Chase Young has been feasting on quarterbacks. He's got 3.5 sacks already with Andy Dalton in the crosshairs today. But the postgame meal will not include the featured entree of the day, with Chase saying, "I was never really much of a turkey guy on Thanksgiving." So, Brandon, it got us thinking, it got us wondering, the best Thanksgiving food is blank.
Oh, this is easy. Candy yams. The salted butter, cinnamon, vanilla extract. Throw some marshmallow on top. I know, Jenna, you're just this health freak and you always eat clean. But this is just one day where you can indulge just a little bit, Nick. Candy yams is the answer.
Yeah, this is the hardest question we've ever been asked on this show. The answer is all of it. And I'm going to, listen, all of it is great. The turkey is great. The ham is exceptional. The candied yams, I don't know. By the way, this spread that we keep showing, none of this looks that great to me. But imagine actually good seasoned Thanksgiving food in place of this video here. The stuffing is unbelievable. All of it is exceptional. The desserts are in a world of their own. I don't know what this is, by the way. Are there cranberries in that? But well-prepared Thanksgiving food, all of it is great. Wilds?
I mean, you know, the twice-baked potato coming out of nowhere here on this video. It's sort of an unsung hero, six-man type thing. I'm going
like
turkey with a curveball, Jenna. I'm going with leftover turkey. I'm saying you get the starters out of the game and you get that second unit turkey in there. They start to really, who is the microwave on the Pistons? And you actually use the microwave? What's the guy's name? Who is the microwave on the Pistons?
You were going somewhere with the turkey the second day.
Yeah,
Everybody loves leftover turkey. You can do so much.
Leftover turkey is the Vinny Johnson of your Thanksgiving. Comes in the game. And you also use a microwave.
I have been rendered speechless.
Can I say something?
Question.
Can I support Wilds?
Go ahead, Nick.
Turkey has been unfairly maligned over the last few years.
Yes.
People are like, why do you even cook it? Ham's better. The sides are better. Again, I'm going to reiterate the point. If your Thanksgiving turkey is not good, that is not the turkey's fault. Quit turkey shaming and start chef shaming. That's the chef's fault.
Wow.
It's the chef's fault. If the turkey's not good, it's because...
If turkey's so good, how many times a year do you eat turkey?
Well, we're not going to... I don't typically spend 18 hours preparing a meal. But if you are going to give it the tender, loving care it needs, wake up every 45 minutes and baste it, and do the things you need to do, it can be the best meal of the year.
That's because your amazing wife does that, which is fantastic.
I am not here for turkey erasure. I'm not here for it. I'm just, Wilds, it's a great take by you.
All right, I'm just going to say it. Don't bash me, but food is overrated. Let's all go for a run. Back to our top story now. Cowboys, despite a dismal season... still in position to make the playoffs. We're going to break down today's big game against Washington and what it all means. Next, first things first.
Is overrated in general?
Oh, an NFL tradition continues on Fox today as Washington takes on Zeke and the Cowboys. Our Thanksgiving Day gift to you for Eastern only on Fox and the Fox Sports app. All right, let's head to Philly, where Doug Peterson has been facing a barrage of questions about his quarterback, Carson Wentz, all season long. To be fair, the questions are warranted. Wentz has really struggled. 14 touchdowns, along with a league-worst 14 picks. Peterson was asked again yesterday about the possibility of making a move to back up Jalen Hurts. Take a listen.
tough decisions have to be made in this business, whether it's a tough decision to move on from a player in the offseason or, to the decision now to whether you're going to make the move at quarterback or not. I mean, these are all decisions that have to be made by me. But for the most part, I just I focus on the players. I focus on getting better each day.
Go ahead, Tim, and then Bo.
You're not making that move, right, Doug, to a different quarterback?
Not today on Wednesday, no.
Okay, possibly for Monday?
I'm focused right now on getting better today. I mean, okay. We're looking. I don't know. I mean, I would say no.
Carson's your starter for Monday.
Yes.
I mean, this.
Oh man.
So, listen.
Bad.
I have two kids. They're like 5 and 7. Unless I am crystal clear, there's always like some sense of ambiguity. They're like, so I can sort of. That was a 37-second soundbite. It needed to be 1 second. Carson's my starter. End of story. Even if he changes, that's it. I'm mind-boggled
by
the
new wife.
I'm sorry. I got to calm down.
We got tough decisions to make. I got to tell you. Happy in your marriage? I mean, listen, it's part of it is thinking about it.
It's unbelievable. At this point, it is without belief. Greg Jennings back with us, but Brandon, you are equally as gobsmacked as the rest of us on this panel. What do you make of Doug Peterson continuing to, I don't even want to call it skirting the issue, just not answering that hesitancy. It's mind-boggling to me. What do you make of it?
Yeah, it's reminiscent of half of my career. Like, I wasn't fortunate enough like Greg to go win a Super Bowl. I was in some toxic environments. I always tell people this all the time. This is a $10 billion business with multi-million dollar athletes. You want to see toxic? You go into a losing locker room. This is bad. If I'm a player, all this tells me is that the stuff that I'm about to eat for Thanksgiving is about to hit the fan. Because when you lose, somebody's going to get fired. Players, coaches, and you're walking in that locker room. Guys stop speaking to each other. You got people pointing a finger. You know, the food get a little stale in the cafeteria. This is a terrible environment to be in. You got to think about the pressure on all these coaches and players every single day to perform. You don't go in and hear, oh, you're great. Coaches are critiquing you down to the inch. Brandon, this is a 10-yard route. You stopped at 9. Why are they so adamant to coach guys up hard? Because this box right here that I'm looking at from Seattle, when Seattle Seahawks cut me, I still haven't unpacked it. But that's what happens when you don't perform. Hey, pack up your stuff. We'll holler at you later. So you'll see this a lot. Players in and out of the lineup. Players in and out of the locker room. Some coaches asked to hit it before the season even end. So, you know, for me, this is reminiscent of my you know, probably half of my career, Greg.
Well, for me as a player, you hear this and just even sitting here listening to that over again, I don't know Doug Peterson personally, but from a player listening to that, I can't trust you. I can't trust what's coming out of your mouth because I can see and sense and my ears tell me what I'm hearing is you're not telling me truth. And so as players, right, the one thing you know players want is to be told the truth. Just shoot me straight. If I'm not getting it done, say I'm not getting it done and tell me why. Don't talk around it. Just be direct. And you have to be direct in this league. And for whatever reason, and probably because you said it, Brandon, this is a toxic situation. And when you're starting to have dysfunction, you start to look, how can you save yourself? And I believe that's kind of what you're going to get and what we're going to continue to see is guys really being more willing and opting to save themselves and not really throw everybody under the bus. But like, you know, you got to make tough decisions. Well, we all know that. Tell us truth. And as players, if you don't get told truth, you don't ever know where you need to progress. And that's the problem that I have with Doug Peterson right now.
So here's even maybe the bigger issue is somehow you knew this was coming. And if you didn't know, we got Dusty, our statistician, he gets shouted out on the show a lot. He's the one Eagles fan on the show. Now, he's from Indiana, and he loves Kobe. I don't really know how he became a Philly fan. It seemed to happen around the time they won the Super Bowl, but don't worry about it. He's a Philly fan. Here's Dusty's tweet from Sunday. Show Dusty's tweet when Doug Peterson said no question Carson's starter. He says this now, but on Wednesday, this idiot, that wasn't nice, is going to say something ambiguous and set Philly media ablaze. Now, let me tell you something about Dusty. He's not an oracle. He's not a future, a fortune teller. I'm not even sure he's all that bright. And he saw this coming. So Wilds, like everybody, if you're an Eagles fan, you're like, okay, this is all happening. And so that's a problem for your head coach. That's a problem, hey, Wilds.
Okay. All right, just to speak to what Greg is saying, Greg, I'm on board with you. You know what? If I was Carson Wentz, save myself. You're going to take my job? I'd be like, hey, everybody, welcome to our Thanksgiving press conference. My name's Carson Wentz. I got sacked 40 times. I know I'm not hitting every single read, but you know Phillip Rivers has been only sacked in the single digits. You think I would be good in the Colts offense? I bet I would be. You know how many offensive lines we've had? Nine different. You want me to be the quarterback and offensive line? You know how many offensive lines the other teams have? Not nine. Save yourself, Carson Wentz. Start throwing people under the bus. It's a great suggestion, Greg. I don't know if that's how you want me to take it, but I'm taking it as a suggestion.
All right. I'm sure this is not the end of it. Greg, thank you so much. As always, we got to take a turn, talk some hoops. Is there anything the Clippers can do or are planning to do to salvage their mediocre offseason? We'll let you know next. First things first.
Got Dusty in the show.
The Clippers finished the season in disarray with reports that the locker room was mired in chemistry issues after bringing in Kawhi and Paul George. Apparently, their solution is to start anew with Ty Lue and build around Kawhi and Paul George. Again, NBA execs reportedly believe Clippers will trade Lou Williams in hopes of creating a fresh start. Chris Broussard is joining us now. Broussard, I know you loved my throwback pick, but let's talk about this. What do you make of the Clippers offseason?
Love the flex, Jenna. You put Nick in his place for sure on that one. Loved it. But the Clippers, look, it's been a good offseason. It started slowly. Ooh. The Lakers were smacking them around, but they came on strong with getting Serge Ibaka. I can't say enough about this addition. He's a 7-footer, can protect the rim, can step out on the floor and shoot the three. He's a great locker room guy. He's buddies with Kawhi Leonard, which should improve the chemistry throughout the team. That was a great addition. And look, obviously they lost Montrezl Harrell. But especially now that they have Ibaka, they feel like that was addition by subtraction because Montrezl was a big part of the locker room problems. I'm not saying there was a civil war there, but he was a part of the tension. Luke Kennard, nice addition. If he stays healthy, he's better than Landry Shamet. Now, let's get to Lou Williams. The one thing they haven't addressed is point guard. They need a playmaking point guard and more leadership, too. And that's where Lou and Pat Bev come in. They'll trade both of those guys if they can get a playmaking point guard that they like. The problem is Lou's 34, only makes $8 million a year. So it's tough to get equal value for him. And Pat Bev has 2 years, $27 million left on his contract. Not much of a market for him. So I don't, you hear Terry Rozier. That is very unlikely. Michael Jordan loves Terry Rozier, not looking to give him up. So they're going to have their hands full trying to get that point guard. And they may have to go to battle with what they have, and they understand that within that building.
All right, so the offseason thus far has been a failure. And it's been a failure because they weren't good enough last year, and they didn't get better. Ibaka, maybe Ibaka is in this role slightly better than Montrezl Harrell, but they were not a slight Montrezl Harrell upgrade away from winning the title. They absolutely, and they're, so here's the thing. Everyone's like, oh, how do they stack up to the Lakers? The Clippers need to worry about getting to the Lakers, much less beating the Lakers, because they couldn't do that last year. So let's look at teams we think are going to be in the playoffs in the West next year. The Nuggets, the Jazz, the Rockets, if they stay together, the Warriors, the Mavs, obviously, the Suns, I think a lot of people like them. Guess what? Of all the potential playoff teams, the Clippers have the single worst backcourt in the Western Conference. Prove me wrong. Show me where. Show me the lie. The worst backcourt.
But they got the best
of
wings.
Any team that could make. They and that
they got
that
the
helped
best
them
wings.
A ton last year. So in other words, let's run it back last year. No backcourt, no rim protector, but we got these wings. Let's run it back. So I
actually
again,
they do
they
have a rim protector.
To address,
now.
Ibaka is an improvement. I will agree with you on that. They needed to address point guard. There's a reason they were talking. Yep. Could Chris Paul go there? Could there be a reunion? They didn't. So Wilds, like, I guess maybe you could acquire Spencer Dinwiddie. Like, I would imagine Lou Williams is the type of player KD loves, and KD's running that team. So maybe that trade happens. Yeah. But that massive point guard upgrade isn't available. Drew Holiday's not on the board anymore. Like, it's not there. So they're going to go into the Western Conference playoffs with the worst backcourt of any playoff team. That ain't great, Wilds.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I'm a little bit tired today because I spent all night on the trade machine trying to get a better player for Lou Williams than Lou Williams, and I failed. And I was up till 3 in the morning. I came up with Chris Dunn, maybe? D. Rose would be nice. That's the closest one. And I spent the rest of my 4 hours trying to move John Wall out of Washington, and I just can't make it happen. So until I hear an answer of who's going to give you 18 points in 29 minutes, I think you're keeping Lou Williams. And Brandon, I know you're going to be like, it's a chemistry issue. It's a chemistry issue. The one thing we haven't really dug in on is how good the Clippers coaching is. You got Ty Lue. You've got Kenny Atkinson, who built that whole Nets culture. You got Chauncey, who I would follow into a mouth of a volcano. And you got Larry Drew, who's coached for almost 30 years. So if it's a chemistry issue, you've got a leadership core that's just a pure dream team. I think I'd stay with Lou Williams and rely on the leadership of that coaching staff to make it work.
Oh, I'm not sure. And sometimes your answers are right in that locker room. You know, look, we heard the reports come out a bubble. Montrez, Lou, the dysfunction there, the lack of chemistry there, the lack of buy-in. And guess what happened? When I say, you know what, it's time to blow it up. It's time to blow it. It's either you get rid of Paul George and you move on, or you get the Montrezes out. You get the Lou Williams out. And you know what happened? Chris just start laughing at me. Ha, 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 ha. Brandon Marshall just said blow it up. Ha, ha, ha. Look, their answers are right there in that locker room.
Blowing it Kawhi. Up is getting rid of
are
your
we forgetting?
Stars.
No. Blowing it up. 100%. What are you talking? It's more than just Kawhi and Paul George. You got to think about, we had 2 6-man of the years sitting on our bench. So for that reason, those two guys, if they're not going to buy into what they're selling, meaning load management was an issue, and also the superstar treatment, if you're not buying into that and you're trying to overstep your boundaries of putting yourself before the two superstars, you got to go. I believe it is blowing it up when you start trading players or letting players go or not re-signing players that don't buy in to what they're building.
And again, the definition of what blowing it up is or isn't aside, where it's one thing if guys don't buy into Kawhi Leonard is going to load manage. I would say that's a coaching and Kawhi decision, and role players, no pun intended, probably need to know their role. It's another thing entirely if guys are justifiably angry that they are regularly sitting on a plane waiting because Kawhi Leonard lives in San Diego and he's late again. That would make anybody mad. And so that's not a do you buy in. That's a does your leader do the requisite job? Say it again, Jenna.
I was just curious which one of us is late to the morning meeting every single day. But you know what? That's neither here nor there. We'll discuss that another time. Don't worry about that. Sorry, that was just on the top of my head.
Wow.
That is so true. I'm sure you made it into that. We can have that conversation. You are the Kawhi. You should have first things first.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take that. And what I'll say is this, as I've said for, Jenna just did a whole soliloquy as we've worked together for 5 years, in person or not, and so I guess maybe Kawhi Leonard and I have a kinship there. The meeting tends to start when I get there. So I guess Kawhi feels the plane leaves when I arrive. I think it maybe works a little better in our environment than guys sitting on a hot runway in Inglewood waiting for a damn flight.
It bothers me. No, it doesn't.
Maybe not.
It bothers me. No, Nick, no. It bothers me because I come from the NFL. If you're on time, you're late. But you know what? I understand my role. I haven't been on this show for 5 or 6 years. You know what? I know that I just got the opportunity to occupy the seat. So I don't say anything. So I thank you so much, Jenna Wolf, for highlighting something that's been bothering me. So now we go back to Kawhi Leonard, and we go back to the Clippers. Role players need to know your role.
Let me say this. Right, just like
it's not
Nick can improve and be on time, the Clippers can improve in the locker room.
Why don't we play a little drawing a blank? I opened a dented can of worms. Dwight Howard is already heaping praise on his new Philly teammates. Dwight, who just came from the Lakers where he played with LeBron, says, quote, Ben Simmons is a young LeBron. He's got the opportunity to be one of the greatest to ever play the game. Broussard, Dwight saying Simmons is a young LeBron is blank.
A stretch. No, make that a mammoth stretch. All right, he's not. I love Ben Simmons. He certainly, the Hall of Fame is a possibility. It's not a guarantee, but it's a possibility for him. But he'll never be LeBron. He'll never be in the GOAT conversation. He'll never be, you know, the scorer that LeBron is. But here's the main thing. When you compare Ben Simmons to all-time greats, whether LeBron or the more appropriate comparison, Magic Johnson, the thing that Ben lacks to this point of his career is the work ethic of those two guys, the leadership of those two guys, the commitment to winning of those two guys, and understanding I want to be a superstar basketball player first, and the cultural celebrity will come late after that. Ben has it reversed, wanting to be a cultural celebrity and then a star basketball player. So he's got to get his intangibles right, like Magic and LeBron, before we can even think about him being as good as one of those guys.
Well, and you don't even mention the maybe the most impressive part of LeBron's resume is his durability. In his entire NBA career, he has missed a total of 102 games. That, oddly enough, is the exact number of games Ben Simmons has missed in his career. The difference is LeBron's been playing 20 years and Ben's been playing 5. So the durability, but this is Dwight being unfair to Ben Simmons. He's trying to give a good quote, but he's setting up this conversation. And Wild's old buddy Bill Simmons always would say, there are certain guys that are 90-10 guys, that they do 90% of the stuff well, but we focus on the 10% of the stuff they do poorly. Ben Simmons, unfortunately, is one of those guys. He does so many things really, really well, but so much of the conversation is about the one thing, shooting, he does terribly. This conversation is obviously unfair to him. Like, you can't compare him to the best player who's ever played. It's not right. It's putting him in a bad spot.
This is...
What, Wiles?
All right, we got to move on. Time to take a Thanksgiving trip down Brandon Marshall memory lane. Brandon, tell us about this amazing catch you made against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day back in 2011.
Well, listen, I just want... You guys continue to surprise me with these little memory lane plays. Well, no, this was awesome. I gave the hand. This is what we were talking about with Tom Brady.
That's what I was saying.
Football.
You gave the hand. Like
I told my board, only a handful of wide receivers can do this. Throw it up. Let me make a play for this team. It was
so
awesome. He was choking me out. It was one of my all-time favorite catches. You got to get a hand, but you got to make sure you're on the same page as your quarterback, because if not, they're going to crush you on first things first.
What corner is that, Brandon? Who is that? Who's that guarding you? Who is that? Terrence Newman.
Yes, exactly. We used to go at it.
Terrence Newman was 5'5".
We used to battle.
Gee, well, that's a bad matchup. Tara Tua was in the league for 20 years. I never knew he was 5'5" tall. What is happening here? He had no
chance. But he was one of the fastest, and that's what made him special. That's what made him special. He can run with anybody and is super smart. So I was surprised to be able to get by him on this play. That's why I gave the hand. Like, when you get an opportunity to run by Terrence Newman, you got to take it. So this was awesome. Great throw, Matt Moore.
His career.
Love the hand.
Shout out Matt Moore.
We got to get back to football now. Back to Tom Brady. Back to the battle of the current best versus the future best. But first, check out this question asked to another quarterback who might consider himself to be the best.
Your deep ball has been really good this year. Is there anything you can put a finger on?
Bill, I'm so glad you asked that.
Oh, good.
I've always wanted to say this. Chicks dig the long ball.
Later today, college hoop season tipping off with a blockbuster on Fox. Number one Gonzaga taking on number six Kansas in what could be the biggest game of the year. Today, 1 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Time now for stories to start your Thanksgiving morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. We head to Tampa Bay, where Tom Brady and the Bucs are getting ready for a marquee matchup Sunday afternoon. They host Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Brady's season has been a little up and down, with the Bucs sitting at 7-4, while the Chiefs just moving right along in search of good times and good news at 9-1. Anyone get the reference? Brady versus Mahomes. The GOAT versus the future GOAT. Here's Chiefs speedster Tyreek Hill on another opportunity to face Brady.
You know what? I'm just so surprised, you know, for a guy his age, you know, just watching him play over the years, you know, how great he is. You know, I've always been a fan of Tom. Like, I'm always called him the GOAT. I mean, even though I play with Pat, he's the GOAT too. But Tom, he's obviously the GOAT of our sport, you know. But yeah. So, yeah, I'm just so glad to be able to play against Tom. Hopefully I can get a jersey swap.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, Brandon, to the someone who's got actually everyone's jersey, I'm not sure how big of a deal it is now. But
yes, right.
You think Brady can send a message with a win over the Chiefs on Sunday?
Well, first of all, let's go back to this whole Tyreek comment about the jersey. Tyreek, this is how you're going to get the jersey. After the game, you're going to go up to him. You're going to ask him for the jersey. What normally happens right there in that moment, we take off our shoulder pads. We have the Sharpie already in our hand, and we swap it out right there. Tom Brady's going to tell you, hey, I'm going to tell my equipment manager to send it to you. And then you're going to see him next year. You're still not going to have the jersey. You're going to have to ask 2 or 3 times. Eventually, you're going to get the jersey, but it's going to take some time. And you have to be patient with the GOAT, Tom Brady. Now, can they send a message, not to the NFL, but they can absolutely send a message to everybody inside that organization? The Kansas City Chiefs know who they are. The LA Rams knew who they were. Who is this team? You're really good on defense, but offensively, you got to figure out who you want to be. If I'm in that position, if I'm in that locker room right now, I'm looking at the old Tom Brady and Patriots film. Like, look, they ran the ball. They were a balanced offense. They didn't have Tom Brady throwing it 40, 45 times a game, week in, week out. Sometimes we call for him to do that, but not every single week. They need to get to running the ball and also playing inside out in the passing game. When you think about Tom Brady, you think about dinking and dunking to Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, Amendola. That's who he is. And then occasionally taking shots through play action, going down the seam to Gronkowski, Randy Moss scorching down the field, or whether on a go or a post. They need to figure out who they are. If they can do that in this game, in this moment, this could be one of many games they stack up and create that identity going into the playoffs, Nick.
All right, I'll address the can he send a message thing in a moment. But first, here is my reenactment, or I guess pre-enactment, of Tyreek Hill and Tom Brady's jersey exchange. I'm Tyreek Hill. Anybody seen Tom? Hey, Tom. Gilmore, you seen Tom? Where is he? Patty, you seen Tom? You shook his hand? Tom, where you at, Tom? Because when the Bucks lose, Tom ain't going to the field. He ain't shaking no hands. He ain't changing no jerseys. So good luck to Tyreek on that one. But it ain't going to go the way you want it to go. Now, as far as a message being sent, What type of game should we expect the two quarterbacks to play? Well, we know what game Mahomes is going to play. We don't know what game Brady's going to play. And you can say it's the Bucs offense, it's the change of system and scenery. But here is just a fact. Tom Brady's never played well against Patrick Mahomes. We can show the numbers. Now, I get it. You stare across the sideline, you say, oh my God, you know, that's the GOAT I'm looking at. Maybe it throws him off his game. But Mahomes has consistently been excellent in his games against Brady. Brady hasn't been. And by the way, that was against the Chiefs defense that over the last few years has not been great. So I don't know what we're going to see from Brady. I do know this, Wilds. The Bucs went into this season not with playoff hopes, win the division hopes, Super Bowl aspirations. And if you end up going 0-2 against the Saints, you get beat by the Rams, and then the Chiefs beat you, and the only high-quality team you can say we beat is the Packers in a game where Rodgers damn near threw two pick sixes, and you know that's kind of an aberrant performance. I do feel like in that locker room, Tampa's going to say, well, like, what is our ceiling? Because it's not what we hoped it would have been.
Yeah, I totally agree. And just to put a cap on this jersey thing, Brandon, I don't know if I want a Tom Brady Bucks jersey. Like, when you go to Tyreek Hill's house and you see all these, like, beautiful jerseys, like, here's my Brady jersey. Like, you've got the nice Patriots jersey. And, like, it's this one. It's the Bucks one. It's like, oh. You got, like, the Jordan Wizards jersey. I don't know if that's a frameable one. I think that's, like, a put it on a hanger and just kind of leave it in the mud room. Here's the thing, and all jokes aside, I think Tom Brady needs to play like Patriots Tom Brady. The idea that Bruce Arians still wants to just throw the ball around like he's got Jameis back there, that ain't it. Sorry, Nick, I know you have that trademark. That ain't it.
No,
you
it ain't
can't
great.
Throw the ball. Have him do his little Antonio Brown is now Julian Edelman. They're living together. They're buddies. Hey, do that little inside out, Brandon. You're 100% right. Especially against this Chiefs defense. And when you look at the next graphic, you'll be like, wow, why were they throwing the ball on the Rams? I don't know. Probably shouldn't. You also shouldn't throw the ball on the Chiefs. So if I was Bruce Arians, I would tell Tom Brady, hey, I'm gonna be Bill Belichick. You can yell at me on the sidelines. I'll have a hooded sweatshirt on. I'm not going to wear my Kangol. And we're going to play Patriots offense and have a chance to beat this team.
Wilds, you're 100% right. That's why this conversation is so volatile all the time when you turn on these talk shows. Is because we're expecting Tom Brady to be the 2010 Tom Brady. That's not what he is. We're not asking Tom Brady to throw the ball down the field 40 times and be number one in the league and passes past 20 yards. Like, that's not what we want. We just want you to put our team in position. It's not all about Tom Brady. You have a great defense, and you have everything you need offensively. Just make the offense make sense. Think and dunk and run the ball, and then the GOAT will get you where you need to be, and that's in the Super Bowl.
Coach around the limitations of your quarterback.
You should frame that one, too.
That's not what he said. A Thanksgiving feast in the NFC East is what's in store for today. Washington at Dallas. It's 4 o'clock. It's on Fox. The winner moves into first place in the division. Brandon, back to you, buddy. Who wins today, Washington or Dallas?
Yeah, I hate to be so down right now, be a downer on this Thanksgiving Day, but they lost their strength and conditioning coach, Marcus Paul. And Marcus Paul is an amazing man. Every morning when I was with the New York Giants, we would be the first ones in. And I would actually take his spot, and he would block me in and wouldn't let me leave because it was this battle of who's going to get to the facility first. This was an amazing man. There's going to be a lot of emotion in this organization, in this locker room. I truly believe that the Cowboys are going to go out with a lot of emotion, and they're going to win this for Marcus. Now, it ain't going to bring Marcus back. We all miss Marcus. He has two beautiful kids, a son and a daughter that he left behind. But there's going to be a lot of emotion in that locker room. So I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys to get it done for an amazing man, Mr. Paul.
I'm glad you got that in, Brandon, and thoughts and prayers to his family, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody from our family to yours. Hope you guys get to enjoy this day however you can, Jenna.
Indeed. Continue the rest of your happy watching here on FS1. Undisputed starts now. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. See you tomorrow.